Zechariah 3, we read about the Lord and Satan. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, you hardly ever read about Satan. After Genesis chapter 3, you read about Satan, and then you read about all through Exodus, Deuteronomy, Kings and all. You never read about Satan. The word Satan hardly ever comes except once it says Satan tempted David to do something wrong. But here, speaks about Satan, where Satan is coming as an accuser. This is again New Covenant stuff. Zechariah and Haggai are sort of preparing the way for the New Covenant, and Satan comes to accuse, because verse 1, Zechariah 3:1, the high priest Joshua is a picture of you and me, are still, our garments are not perfect. Filthy garments means we have not yet become 100% like Jesus. There's still a little bit of dirt in our life. And Satan is there to accuse. That part, no, he's not behaving like Christ there. Agreed. Because the only person whom Satan cannot accuse anything is one who's 100% like Jesus, where none of us are like that. So there's something Satan can find. Maybe not conscious sin, maybe we have overcome conscious sin, but something unconsciously that you did, and Satan accuses, and immediately the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. I have chosen this person. And of course, here I am, verse 3, standing with filthy garments, and the Lord says to them, take away those filthy garments and put on him, verse 4, the righteousness of Christ. Great. That's wonderful, Lord. I don't condemn myself because in some area I slipped up or I was not exactly like I wanted to be, like Christ-like. Maybe something I said or did was not exactly 100% Christ-like. And I immediately confess, but Satan's accusation is immediately stopped by the Lord himself. He's the accuser of the brethren, but the Lord shuts him up and clothes me immediately. Rule the filthy garments. I'm cleansed. And put new as the righteousness of Christ on him. And here's the best part of it. I like this. Then Zechariah. You know, Zechariah is a very young man. You read that in chapter 2, verse 4. The Lord said, speak to that young man, Zechariah. And this young brother says, Lord, clothe, put a turban on Joshua's head also. In other words, Zechariah is taking the side of Jesus, not accusing Joshua, but making him glorious. These are two ministries I see in Zechariah chapter 3. It's new covenant. It's a real new covenant. Here are two people, Joshua and Zechariah. Picture this in your mind. Joshua and Zechariah. Joshua has got something wrong in his life, like you see something wrong in a brother in the church. Okay. Good. There are things wrong in all of us, and if you live close enough to me, you'll see things wrong in me too. And Zechariah sees that, and he sees Satan accusing Joshua, and immediately the Lord rebuking Satan and removing the filthy garments and clothing him with a beautiful garment. And Zechariah says, not that, that's not all, Lord. Put a glorious turban on his head as well, verse 5. And they obeyed Zechariah. The angels obeyed Zechariah and put a clean turban on his head. I say, Lord, I want to be like that. To make my brother glorious. It's a great ministry. He's got some problem with him, but he's sincere. He slipped up, maybe. But he's basically committed to the Lord. He's not a half-hearted person living for himself. He's basically committed to the Lord. And so I see the Lord clothes him like that and accuses Satan. I don't want to take Satan's side and say, yeah, Lord, I think there's a little bit of a defect in him. I agree with Satan. Are you like that? You screw up your eyes to see something carefully. You take out your microscope and see something in that person. You say, yeah, Lord, I think I agree with Satan. Now, there's some little defect in that brother. I'm not saying that we should be deceived. I'm not saying that we should call a carnal person wholehearted. No, no, no. Let's get a balance here. Paul did not look at the Corinthian Christians and say, oh, you guys are all so spiritual. That's a lie. That's like calling a dirty wall, oh, this is a clean wall. That's not a type of stupidity that God wants us to have. If it's dirty, it's dirty. But what I mean is, you want to clean it. That's the point. Not that you call a clean wall dirty, not that you call a dirty wall clean, but you want to clean it. So Paul told the Corinthians, you're carnal. You're babies. But I want to make you spiritual. That's the thing. So here, Zechariah's attitude is so new covenant. It's like, you know, there are two ministries going on. It says Satan is accusing the believers day and night, and Jesus is interceding for them day and night. You remember that? In Revelation 12:10, Satan accuses believers day and night, and Hebrews 7:25 says Jesus is praying for them day and night. The two ministries going on, day and night, 24 hours. Satan accusing, Jesus praying, Satan accusing. That's what you see here. It's a picture of New Covenant. Satan accusing and Jesus interceding. And the example for us is Zechariah, who takes Jesus' side. Say, yeah, I want to make my brother glorious. Let me explain again, repeat again. Not being unrealistic, not shutting our eyes and saying, oh, he's a spiritual man. No. Burns is carnal, he's carnal. But if he's related to me and he's willing to relate to me as a brother, I don't want to leave him carnal. I want to love him enough to tell him, brother, there's a black mark on your face. Will you wipe it off? You don't love a brother enough to tell him there's a black mark on his face? What type of love is it? Sometimes we say, no, we don't say anything. It's because you don't love him. If you love them, you'll see there's something wrong. A doctor who loves his patients will tell the patient, I'm sorry to say, I love you, man. There's cancer, you got cancer. Now he doesn't hate him when he says that, but he wants to help him to get rid of it. So that is the type of love that God wants us to see. And let me just say one more thing before I close. When you think of this ministry, how shall we accomplish it? Here's the answer, Zechariah 4. First of all, you see two people in Zechariah 4. You see verse 3, there's a lamp, a lampstand, verse 2. And lamps are burning. And how are these lamps burning, Zechariah 4:2? With two trees, verse 3, supplying the oil into the lamps all the time. Those two trees are a picture of two people. Here, Haggai and Zechariah, today, you and another brother, you and another sister, pouring the oil so that the church keeps burning like a light. It's a beautiful picture. Not one tree. The Old Testament is one tree. Here it is the church. The church is a lampstand. You read in Revelation 1, the church is a lampstand. Seven lampstands. Jesus stood in the midst. Here is a lampstand, but it needs oil, and the oil is supplied by two faithful brothers who are pouring that oil in, sacrificially pouring their oil in. Can't you be a brother like that? To pour your life into the church so that the church burns. And the Lord explains that saying, this ministry, verse 6, is going to be done not by might nor by power, but by my Holy Spirit, says the Lord. So when you think of all that you heard till now about devotion to Jesus and making him the glory in our midst and being free from fear, with the Lord as a wall of fire round about us and always interceding rather than accusing, you say, how in the world can I do it, Lord? Not by your strength and might, forget it. Seek me for the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the answer. It'll be done by my Spirit. And then in front of you, verse 7, even if there is a mountain which you think, how will I ever overcome this problem? That mountain will be flattened. By what? By grace. A word which is almost never found in the Old Testament prophets. The Old Testament prophets never spoke about grace. Zechariah speaks about it. Grace, grace. The power of the Holy Spirit brings that mountain down. So let's conclude with that hope that we have and faith that whatever mountain you see there is in your life after what you heard this morning, that the power of the Holy Spirit by the grace of God will make that mountain flat. Can you think of some mountain in your life? that's standing in front of you and saying, Lord, I got this bad habit. It never seems to go from me. And or like you heard earlier about the way you brought up your children, or some mountain, something that's horrible standing in front of you, some bad habit that you young people have which you're not able to get rid of, some anger, some pornography, something. The power of the Holy Spirit, not by your power, not by your might, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, that mountain will become flat. Isn't it wonderful to say, yes, Lord, amen, it will be so in your life? Do you agree with me? Let's pray. I'm sure the Lord's spoken to your heart. But not a word of condemnation. A word of hope. For the least and the lowest and the weakest person here, there's hope. Not by power, not by might. But by my Spirit, says the Lord, that mountain in front of you will become flat. Say, yes, Lord, it'll be so. It will be so. I see this mountain in front of me, it'll be flat in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not just empty repeating of Jesus' name, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, you're the head of the church. You came here to build the church. You brought all these people here who've taken the trouble to come here this morning. They could have sat at home watching television, but they've taken the trouble to come here. Don't let them go away without a word from you straight to their heart that will change the direction of their life the whole of this year. Thank you, Father. It will be so. I want to trust you. I want to trust you, Lord. Do a work in everybody's life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.